Good morning. Glad that everyone is here today, and I'm excited that we get to continue talking about Kaleo, what we have been called to as individuals, as Christians, and as a church. And today, we've got something special to share with you, and in the video that we just watched is a promotional video called Reach Me from a ministry that we help work with called Student Venture. And Tracy, many of you know Tracy, she's up here leading us.
Hello.
In worship. Many times. She's also led our women's ministry in this last semester. And we wanted to have an opportunity to share with you a little bit about what Student Venture is and exactly how we as a church can get involved. Just so you know, I guess every other Thursday night still, Student Venture leadership uses this space to meet together. And Hung, who is the director of this side of Chattanooga for Student Venture, he pours into them, they worship together, and they pray together, they develop strategies to reach high schoolers. And as you saw in that video, there's a great need among our teenagers. So Tracy is going to share a little bit about a ministry that she's involved with and a big step that she's taking in ways that we as a church can get involved. So tell us a little bit about...
Well, Student Venture is the high school and middle school ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, which you may have heard of, which is an international missions organization founded in 1951 by Bill Bright. That's all the history I'm going to give you. but I got involved with Student Venture because I was actually in college, had heard about Crusade and got involved with them, and that's how I heard about Student Venture. Kind of ended up coming down here to Chattanooga for 2 years for an internship. And I have recently decided to go on staff full time, which is more of a life, signing my life up permanently for to work with students and middle school students at Loftus Middle School.
All right. What we talked a little about last week is, and the series that we're in is called Kaleo. Kaleo literally means to be called or to be called to something. And a lot of times we think of calling that God has in our life is something that only pastors or missionaries do, but calling is something that we all have. And I know you struggled with the decision to go from being an intern to going on staff. And I know we prayed about that, about whether you should make that decision. So tell us a little bit about what led up or that calling that drew you to say, this is what I need to do with my life.
Yeah, well, I've known that I wanted to be in full-time ministry since I was a junior in high school. And I didn't really know where that would end up taking me. And I discovered that I loved to work with middle schoolers. When I was in college, I would work with a summer camp. So that's kind of what led me here, to the internship. But I still wasn't sure if staff, it was like a temporary thing. Like, it was only 2 years and I could sign up for that. What's funny is in the process of waiting and praying about if I should go on staff, this summer my internship was accidentally and prematurely terminated. So I was kind of accidentally fired. And it was a weird fluke. And of course, it felt like the rug had been pulled out from under me. And I remember laying on my face and just praying, like, God, why would you let this happen? But while I was waiting and praying and crying a lot, God led me to the passage in John 21. Jesus had just been crucified, and Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, went back to what he knew. He went back to fishing. And I really identified with Peter because the whole time I was waiting on the whole, I was like, is this internship going to be permanently terminated? The whole time I was waiting, I was like, well, what else could I do? Could I go back to school? Like, maybe I could teach, or maybe I could pursue my music career. And so I was, considering all these things. Well, when the story goes on, while Peter's fishing, Jesus appears on the shore. And Peter swims out to him, and Jesus invites Peter to breakfast. And while they're sitting there talking, Jesus asks Peter 3 times, which is really significant, Peter, do you love me? And I just imagine Peter imagine the pain that came with those questions, or that same question 3 times, and I identified with that too, because I looked back on my life and my ministry even and saw a lot of disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And there was a lot of like, oh, I'll do that later, and there was a lot of just saying no when God told me to do something, or saying, well, I'm not sure, and You know, so I saw all those failures, and you know, so I identified with Peter. And again, the story goes on, and Peter, you know, even as painful as it was, he says, Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And all that Jesus says every time is, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And I read that and I was just like, oh, this is what God is saying to me. Tracy, I want you to feed my sheep. I don't want you to go back to fishing. I don't want you to think about to let the past define you. I just want you to feed my sheep. And pretty much immediately after that, I applied to go on staff and have never felt more peaceful about a decision in my life. I mean, you know, with all sorts of emotions mixed in with that, but it's been awesome ever since. So
yeah, fantastic. Well, starting a church, I've been bivocational since we started, but currently what I do is substitute in some of our local schools, primarily one school in particular. And so I get a chance to see high schoolers on a regular basis, and we've had some just within our family and our friends, we've had some really traumatic experiences in the lives of teenagers, and as a result of some of the choices teenagers have made that have affected the lives of others. And so the need is tremendous. I don't even know that video does justice to what teens are facing. And I know we have several parents in here with facing a coming teenager. Jake's birthday was today. He turned 11. He's a preteen pretty much, and going on 21. And many of you know what that's like. Those challenges are there. The ministry that you all do is very much intentional on building relationships and building into these kids. And I know you love doing that. You're good at doing that. What is it about moving forward in staff that really just excites you and makes you thrilled that this is the direction God has taken you in?
Man, well, I think that the most exciting thing for me is just working with middle schoolers, which I'm sure some of you are rolling your eyes even now because nobody likes middle school. Like,
nope, middle schoolers don't like middle school. Nobody,
you ask a substitute teacher where they would like to sub, they're like, the last choice is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Like, they just don't want to, because they're crazy. I mean, I read something where, an article somewhere where, you know, teenage or middle school girls, adolescent girls are like, chemically, they're the closest to being insane that they ever will be. Like, it's almost like...
That's believable.
You know what
guys?
I mean? And so they're crazy. They're crazy and they're wild and they, you know, their decisions don't really make sense. But they're also so, I don't know, there's just something that draws me to them because they're so awkward. And, you know, I guess I identify with that because I guess I've just stayed a middle schooler my whole life. I don't know. But, you know, once they realize you'll stick around, it's like that you can't get rid of them. They just will be, they'll stay by you and they will love you. And the thing, I don't know if you've ever noticed this about middle school and high schoolers a lot of the time, is they're a lot like sheep. They're really defenseless and they're really, they'll follow. They're just followers a lot of the times. You very, very rarely have that one kid that'll stick out because you just don't go against the grain. And that just reminds me of in Matthew 9 where it says that Jesus looked on the crowds and he had compassion for them. I knew I would cry when I thought of this, but and he looked at them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so the thing that excites me is being able to look on, to walk into a lunchroom and see sheep and know that I know the good shepherd and I can introduce them to him, you know, and that he will lead them and I don't have to.
Absolutely, yes. That, which is a huge realization, by the way, that it's not us who does that. God does that through us. That's one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, there are so many fun things about ministry, but there are, to be honest, a lot of hard things. Mm-hmm. And so as you're dedicating your life to this, you're making some choices to make some sacrifices too. What are some of the things that scare you or are going to be difficult about this decision?
I get that question a lot, you know, what are the fears of going into ministry like this full time? And, you know, I can honestly, scripture can ease the fear of a lot of things, but one of the things that I really fear is losing perspective, you know, or the motivation to do what I'm supposed to do. When you answer a call from God, you're basically saying that you're in it and you're going to do whatever it takes and you're dedicated for the long haul. And ministry is discouraging at times. And if I don't keep my eyes on Jesus, then that discouragement can tempt me to walk. And you can kind of attest that it's just not always easy. In fact, there are times where it makes you want to like bolt. And that's one of my biggest fears. And that's one of the reasons I begged God to show me in his word, that this was his call for my life, because not just a feeling, because I can rationalize a feeling, and I can forget that. In fact, what I was feeling was saying, Tracy, this is really not the best decision for you. You're smart, you're talented, you could do 100 other things and be just fine and still follow God. And, you know, I could rationalize that feeling all day long. But God's word was saying, Tracy, feed my sheep. And Tracy, go make disciples and teach them all that I've commanded you. And even, you know, if you don't leave everything that you have, you don't give up everything you have, you can't be my disciple. That's what God's word was saying, which is like, you can't really argue with that. Yeah. Like, you can't really rationalize that away. And I remember writing that down in my journal and being like, okay. You know, because I just wanted to be able to say, you know, in the dark, and ministry's dark at times. It's not all flashy, and it's not, especially youth ministry, is not all like fun and games, which it seems like that on the surface, but it's really not, I promise. In those dark times, I wanted to be able to say, no, God said this in his word, and it wasn't a fly-by-night feeling, and it wasn't something I can easily dismiss. And if I believe that God's word is true, which I do, and that the Holy Spirit is real, then I have to believe this calling is valid, and I'll keep going. So that's what I'm putting my faith in, but I do kind of fear. Yeah. That's the scary part for me.
Yeah, which is probably a scary part for everybody in the room at any point that God pulls you into something. All right, couple of real quick last questions. Okay. What do you believe, or what do you hope God most wants to accomplish through your ministry as Student Venture?
I honestly have no idea. I have a vision for what I want my ministry to be, but I know what God's done in my heart, and that I'm a different person, you know, now than I was 3 years ago or 5 years ago, and that he's developing perseverance and belief in me. I just want to be the kind of person that's when God says go, I say okay, or I say, God, that's impossible, but you did this, and this impossible thing, so okay, you know, for God to cultivate a life of faith, and little tiny steps of faith, not just huge leaps of faith, and to honestly just give God glory, and whatever that is, if that's humiliating yourself in front of middle school girls, which I've done many times, then okay, that's fine. Okay. So, yeah.
Awesome, okay. All right, so this is a high-paying job, right?
Yeah.
You're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You are striking out in faith financially. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that. What obstacles stand between you and this calling that you believe God is?
Well, every staff member of Campus Crusade for Christ and Student Venture relies on the support of individuals to carry on their ministry. We don't have a central funding for salaries. Contributions from individuals and churches are the only way to support what I do. And it's kind of, I like to look at it as a rescue mission into a mine that's collapsed. Somebody can be willing to go into the darkness and save, you know, miners from the collapsed mine, but if other people aren't holding that rope to lower that person down, then nobody's getting out of that mine alive. So,
okay. Now you have there are two ways that we can help. Well, more than two. We can be praying for you. We can be supportive and encouraging, because encouragement is huge in an area of ministry like this. But you have two goals that you have to meet financially. Mm-hmm. Your training and then feeding yourself, right?
Yeah.
And having a roof over your head and all those things. Tell us about those. two things. What you need?
Well, the first thing I need is for you to pray. I need all the prayer I can get right now. And what you mentioned just now about training, that's probably my most urgent need. I have a new staff training is a 5-week training where I get to, I do seminary classes and valuable ministry and support training, and I leave tomorrow morning. with the ministry expenses, with the training expenses, the living expenses, and everything, it's about a little over $4,000, and I'm about $3,000 short of my goal. And so, what I'm asking is for people to hold the rope for me in that by giving a one-time gift of $500, $200, $100, or some other amount to help send me to that training. Thirdly, I am looking for people to hold the rope for me in by way of monthly donations. One-time gifts are great, and especially for this training, I really need that. But to be able to continue my ministry, I have to cultivate a team of people that will be willing to give $100 or $50 a month to sustain my ministry. I send out a newsletter with that, and you get to hear all the cool stories about middle school ministry, which there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens.
Okay.
I'm trying to build a team as well, and that will happen a lot more after I get back from staff training.
Okay, what do you say to the person that thinks, I would like to help, I would like to be involved, but I can't do 500, I can't do 100, I can't do that? What would you say to that person?
I would say that, God looks at the heart, and God is teaching me to look at the heart as well, and that your faith is not measured by the dollar amount that you give. Because I've seen some crazy things happen to people, to some of my $10 my monthly supporters that give $10 a month, that's a step of faith for them. What I like to tell my ministry partners is, one, it's a partnership to be involved with what we do and to know what's going on. But two, you're walking into a life of ministry with me. I just want to involve, it's about your faith. It's about you and God. And you're giving to the Lord. It's not, here's some cash, Tracy. Like, I get to be blessed by that. But, like, the Levites, I was just reading about this in, I guess, Joshua. I don't remember where it was. I'm not a Bible scholar.
But you Levites, will be after these next four.
The idea is that I will come back and I will have the whole Bible memorized. So that's not true. But, the Levites, when they were separating out inheritances for the tribes of Israel, the Levites didn't get a spot of land. They were completely, because it says the Lord is their inheritance, and they were completely dependent on the people, the other tribes, to give to the Lord who would give to them. Our symbol for the software that we use is actually a triangle for that reason, because people, you give to the Lord, and the Lord blesses the people that have been called in this ministry. It's not about me. It's about your relationship with God and how what he's calling you to do.
Okay. Well, if you would like to help support Tracy, a couple of ways you can do that is you can see her and just write a check if you want to. You can see her and say, I'm praying for you. You can follow up with her. So we won't see you for a few weeks. And then when she comes back, follow up and encourage. You can also give through Journey if you would like to do that, or write a check to Journey. We'll give it to her. And I would say if you can give $10, then that's great. Give $10. If you can give $1,000, then great. Give $1,000. Whatever you would like to do that. One last question, and you weren't prepared for this question, but I've been on this side on stage. I've been on the side of sitting in seats. And what would you say to the person who says, that's great, God called you to do student venture. What about me or anyone in this room that says, but I don't really feel like I'm called to be a missionary or a minister or something like that. What would you say about calling to just somebody who walked in today?
Well, I will say this first, that there are no super Christians. And you've said that 100 times. And, you look at people that God used in Scripture, and they were adulterers, murderers, liars, all these people that you would not think, Like, God couldn't pick them. And so I would wonder, you know, what fear would hold you back from doing God's work? And if that fear is, I'm not good enough, then join the club, get in our boat, because we're all not good enough. We're all, like, sorry losers. Like, I look at my life, I'm like, God, I can't even believe. I wouldn't have picked me. Why'd you pick me? But also, you know, we are all commanded and commissioned to go and make disciples. That's just, you cannot get around that scripture. That Jesus, the last words he gave to the people that followed him, his disciples, was go and make disciples. They were a select group in the sense that they were following Jesus. And you imply that everybody that follows Jesus has that commission. And so, you know, saying that you're not at a pulpit or saying that you're not going to Africa or whatever doesn't excuse anyone. That if you truly follow the Lord, then you're commissioned to go and make disciples. And I don't like to hear that, to be honest, because that puts pressure on me. Mm-hmm. But I just can't read scripture and escape that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for letting me.
And we'll just be praying for Tracy. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Also, I want to ask you to be praying for Scott. Scott's not with us today. Scott is at World of Wheels. Scott, for several years now, has been the chaplain at World of Wheels. And so he goes down there, and in the middle of the car show, before it begins today, they'll bring all the vendors, everyone who's brought a car down, they'll bring them into a tent, and Scott is going to be sharing the gospel with them this morning. So that's a rare thing. I joke with him, tell him it's just because the Texas bikini team is there. He says that's not the case, but let's be praying for him as well. So let's just pray for you and for Scott right now. Father God, I thank you that you're a God who calls people that are not good enough. And God, I thank you that you continually, through the Holy Spirit, make us good enough to be a part of your family, to be a part of your ministry. God, I pray for Tracy, and Lord, I pray that you would help us as a faith community to invest in her and help her and recognize that as we support Tracy, we're supporting your work that's going on in schools in our city. God, it is just so discouraging, the challenges that our kids are facing. And God, I know that there is a better life for them, but there are so few people who are going and telling them about that better life. Father, I pray that you would just use Tracy and all those that are involved with Student Venture and Campus Crusade for Christ that are making a difference in Chattanooga and all over our nation and around the world. So God, I pray that you would provide those resources and you would help us to help meet those needs. And God, I pray that you would just give her such a sense of calling and a sense of purpose that you are at work in her life and you are at work in the lives of the students she's working with. Father, we also pray for Scott, who right now is speaking to people that came for car show. But God, I know you want to just intercede right now and you want them to experience something greater. And Lord, I pray that you would give him words and you would give him confidence and you would just open the ears of those that are hearing this morning so that lives could be changed. Father, I pray the same for here and in this room, because I know you have huge desires and huge plans for every single person that is in this room. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would be poured out upon us, and that, God, that we would be your people that were going out making you known in a world that is lost and hurting and hopeless, because, God, you are the answer to all those things. And Father, I just thank you for your Son that makes us right with you, that we can have a relationship with you, we can walk confidently knowing that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tracy, thanks.
Thank you.
And you can see her in just a few minutes. I've got a few things I want to share with you real quick, and a lot of what I hope you would get out of today, Tracy has already helped to share. Kaleo literally means to be called. And what I want every person in this room to know is you are called. That doesn't mean that you are called to Student Venture, or you are called to staff, or you are called to go to Africa. You may be called to all those places, but you are called. God has asked you to come and be a part of what he is doing. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to be a part of other people's life, and he has issued that for ages. In fact, our key scripture that we're covering throughout this series is 1 Peter 2:21, and it says this: for to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Every one of us is called to follow in the steps of Jesus. Maybe not to be a theologian, although all believers at some point or another should have some sense of theology or some sense of understanding of Scripture and who God is. You aren't called to attend a church. You aren't called to volunteer your time doing some random thing. You're called to follow the example of Jesus. And a lot of times we mix that up. We think that we're called to all these activities. The fact is, those activities just happen once we are following Jesus. Like the fundraising for 1040 that you guys gave so generously towards, that is not something that the gospel is giving money to 1040. That is what we do because the gospel has penetrated our hearts. And you guys have allowed that to penetrate your hearts in such a way that you give generously. And making disciples is the exact same. We have an example to follow. We just follow Jesus' example. And it may make it so difficult. Sometimes we just need to go back to the Gospels, read the Gospels, and say, this is what Jesus did, this is what I'm going to do. We don't have to make it so hard or make it some list of rules that Mark comes up with or some other pastor comes up with. What did Jesus do? Do that. And to be honest, I am much more encouraged to do what I've watched somebody else do than what somebody tells me to do that I don't know if they do it or not. Anybody else? He gave us the example. He gave us the example even unto death. A few weeks ago, we talked about the church, the body, that the body of Christ is the church. And literally, ecclesia, meaning that's translated church, literally means to be called out. We are called out. We are the called out people of God. That's literally what the church is. Not the building, not the denomination, not the organizational structure. Literally, we are called out to be the people who belong to the Lord, and that is huge. And all of those callings, and I'm gonna run through this because I don't think I have to rehash some of the things we just talked about. You know how to care about yourself. I know how to care about myself. But we are called to care about the needs of others. No one trained me to figure out how to take care of Mark. I have a survival sense, the same one that you have. I know what my needs are. I don't know what all your needs are. I know what my needs are. And I know how to take care of my needs. But to follow the example of Christ is not just to look at his needs or our needs, it's to look at the needs of others. And we see some examples, and Tracy quoted one of those. We see some examples of what he does. Oh, well, Philippians 2:20, you don't have to write this down. It just says this: I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. That's what some of our stories are. That's the background we came out of. And Paul's saying, Timothy, he really cares for you. It's not just about him taking care of himself. He really cares for you. But caring always leads to some sort of action. It's not enough to just say, I care about you. You know, people say that. Don't you have people like that? And I love it. And they come up and they just say, I love you. And then you're on the side of the road and they're driving down and your car's broke down and they look at you like, care leads to action, right? Or you walk in here and you're just holding back the tears because you've had the worst week ever known to anyone. People come up and hug you. How you doing? Oh, it's been horrible. I got to go. Caring leads to action. It always moves us to act. And some of the ways that we see this in Jesus, talked about Jesus and the compassion he had for others. In Matthew 14, it says this: when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them and he acted. He healed their sick. He cared, and it led to some action. In Matthew 20, Jesus, in pity or in compassion, in some of your translations, touched their eyes of the blind, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. He cared. He had compassion. He saw a need, and he was able to meet that need. In Mark 6, it says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. He cared for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, which is what Tracy quoted. And he began to teach them many things. Why? because he thought that the answer was that they knew things, because he knew that they needed to understand that the kingdom was bigger than what they have ever seen within their life. And he wanted them to experience what gave them true grace and true care within their lives, to know Jesus, to know salvation. And Jesus did these things just because he saw the need. And I want you to know, as a church, one of our callings is to just figure out how to take care of people. Now, what I know is, a lot of people, as a pastor, I'm one of those weird people in the church, I realize. Like, you don't really know what's going on with me. It's just the way it is with pastors. I try to tell you more what's going on with me, because pastors really don't tell you all their needs because it freaks everybody out. They think they're going nuts. And so I don't share all those, but I share more than probably most pastors do. We're just this kind of weird enigma. But you find out the needs of people by spending time with them. You find ways to care for them, and then you act on that care. And if you're praying for somebody, that is huge for somebody that values prayer. If they don't value prayer, they don't really care if you pray for them or not. Doesn't make your prayer any less valuable, though. But for somebody that values prayer, tell them you're praying for them. When somebody comes up to me and says, "I'm praying for you," that is huge, because I know that means you are working behind the scenes to entreat God to move heaven and earth in favor of me, my family, journey, and whatever else is going on in our lives. That is huge. But you've got to find out what those needs are. And so we have to care, and we have to be active about this. Here's what I know about calling. This is what I want to share with you. Here's what I know about calling. Number one, and this Tracy alluded to this too, you have to daily choose to accept your calling. It is not a one-time deal. It is not, "God has called me to follow him, so now I'm just going to follow him." Anybody in the room want out every now and then? Anybody? Nobody? Being Tracy? Sometimes I want out. Sometimes the burden of caring for others, it's overwhelming. And there, every single time that happens, there's generally something else going on in my life that is distracting me from what God is doing. Because God never leads you to want out. But because I'm a person, and because you're people, there are times that we just say, "God, this is too much. I want out. I just want to take care of me for a while." It is a daily choice to accept God's calling, to emulate him, and to care for the needs of others. Every single day you have to make that choice. What I also know is, and this is why I wanted Tracy to share some of her fears and some of her sacrifices, is that caring for others will always require personal sacrifice. Whether it's writing a check for somebody doing student venture, or whether it's taking a meal to somebody who's hungry, or whether it's going and taking care of somebody who just had surgery, doesn't have any family to help take care of them, or whether it's going and sitting with somebody who just went through a divorce or just had some traumatic event going on in their lives. You can always choose yourself. I can always choose me. I can always say, "I'm going to spend my time on me." But to choose to spend our time on others, that is a calling that every one of us has. And I would say this too, the idea that the pastor or the missionary or the student venture staff person is somehow more spiritual or more called than anyone else, that all comes down through the administrative side of church, that we've begun to understand the hierarchy of ministry, of organization. But before God, our callings are equal. Our expressions are not the same. Now, if I came to some of you and said, "I need you to teach from the stage next week," I would never see you again, ever. You would run and never talk to me again. And for some of you, if I said, "Next week, I need you to stand at the door and smile and shake hands that people walk in the door," you would be like, I don't know all those people. I can't do that. It'll freak you out. Your calling is unique to who you are, but we all share in one great generic calling, which is follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And one of the things I love that Paul just really teaches a lot about is the area of spiritual gifts. Let me just ask, how many in this room know what your spiritual gift is today? Okay, how many of you don't even know what that means, a spiritual gift means? Well, I'm not raising my hand for that. I mean, that's a bad question to ask. I shouldn't ask that question. But a spiritual gift is literally a supernatural empowering to do what God wants done in this earth in a way that beyond what you can do on your own. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. It's huge. And for some, it's teaching. And for some, it's the supernatural ability to understand what you're going through and sit with you and just cry with you when you're hurting. And for others, it's the supernatural ability to walk up and when you're having the worst day you have ever had, by the end of your conversation, you're ready to go conquer the world because they have the gift of encouragement. Now, there are lots of different spiritual gifts that are out there that are given, and the Holy Spirit does incredible supernatural things within you. We are all called, no matter what that expression is. One of mine is teaching. And that's one of the reasons I do this. It does not make me better. It does not make me more spiritual. One of the things that if I could teach somebody and let them walk away in the essence of prayer, my prayers as a pastor are no more heard by God than your prayers. Because we are equal before the Father. We are all needy. We are all at fault. We are all sinners. There's not a one of us that is better than the other. And there's not a one of us that our prayers are not heard by God. We all come to Him. I understand why people say, I really want the pastor to pray for this. But I just want you to know, if within your mind there's a little nugget that says, I need the pastor to pray with it because my prayer's not enough, that's not true. That is not true. The same Holy Spirit that's in your life is in my life. And He's no more in my life than He's in your life. I got the same dose you got. And so that empowering, whether you're a missionary to wherever, or whether you're a greeter at the door and a missionary at your job, that is the same calling, the same empowering. Maybe a little different in the way that we exercise that. That's a little nugget I didn't really plan to give you today, but I wanted you to know because I can't believe it when people... I don't know where we got to this point believing that pastors are more spiritual. Just walk with me for a while. If you struggle with that still, you don't believe me, still think pastors are more spiritual, spend a week with me. I'll change your mind immediately. And if you think that's just because I'm a bad pastor, I guarantee you go spend a week with any pastor and you'll figure it out. You know what pastors do when they get together? Well, I can't tell you that because then that would blow the whole secret, wouldn't it? But I can tell you it's not we don't just sit around and pray and be holy. I'll tell you that. We struggle with things. We get to be honest with each other about the things that we struggle with. Calling others will always require personal sacrifice. Caring for others, I'm sorry. The calling to care for others will always require personal sacrifice. It will require time. It will require finances. For our greeters, they could sleep in later or just not even come, and they're here greeting. Those who are with our kids, there's a lot of the things they could be doing right now than working with kids. Those who are up here leading worship, there's a lot of other things that they could be doing than leading worship. And that takes a lot of time to prepare and be ready and rehearse and do that. There's a lot of other things that you could be doing with your time than be here right now. It's going to take sacrifice. One of the reasons that I love 1 Peter 2:21, it just says, Jesus demonstrated suffering, demonstrated sacrifice. Demonstrated that to us. One of the great passages that demonstrates that is in Matthew 26, and it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is about to be crucified, and he's going to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's taking a couple of disciples with him that can't stay awake. And this is, if you think that Jesus, his torture and his crucifixion, it's because he was Jesus somehow, it didn't faze him like it would if it were me or you, listen to this again. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. So let that be, for those of you who are sorrowful and troubled today, and you feel unspiritual because of it, Jesus was sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, the disciples, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." By the way, if you're a leader and you think you can ever show the kinks in your armor, a leadership guru would tell Jesus, you should not tell your disciples that you're sorrowful. They only need to see your good, positive front face. But what does Jesus do? "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible," this is Jesus, "if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." There is sacrifice to following Jesus. Can I tell you one of the mistakes that I made as a church planter that we made here at Journey and that we've tried to recover from? We tried to make Journey too easy. We wanted it, we knew there was a large group of people at Journey that, or not at Journey, at Chattanooga, that would not go to a church anywhere. They had bad stories. They've been hurt by churches, hurt by Christians. The stories are everywhere. You've heard them. Some of you have those stories. And our desire was to create a place where we would not put any burden on anybody. You can come and explore and you can ask questions and you can just let Jesus get a hold of you. And a couple of years into it, I realized this whole non-committal, follow Jesus, don't follow Jesus, whatever, it's just not biblical. And it's just, there's no way to really share Christ with somebody without sharing his suffering, without sharing the hardship and the sacrifice that comes along with it. And so we tried to make it so easy that no one would feel, I don't know, put upon, another list of rules that they've already rejected. The bottom line is, if a person's going to reject Christ, they're going to reject Christ, whether or not there's a high bar or whether there's a low bar. It's just the bottom line. And so one of the things that we're actually developing and we're beginning starting in February is rather that we, again, do not want to make Journey just a place where we put this false yoke of religion on everyone's back and give a false sense of goodness of God by all of our activities, because that doesn't work. We want this to be a place that's free, that you can come as you are, you can explore, you can ask questions, and if it's not for you, then okay, we're still going to love you, whether it's for you or not. But for those who say I'm in, the move we're making is to raise the bar. Not to raise the bar to some arbitrary church growth level, because I could be honest, I don't care how many people are here. I hope there are more people are here. I care. If one person shows up, me, I'm going to really care. But I'm not concerned with how big we get. I'm concerned with how authentic we are in our faith. And to be authentic in our faith means that we have to take this calling seriously. And I would say many of you would not fit in a lot of churches in our town. And this is not to slight anybody, but I would say you more faithfully understand calling than some people who attend church a whole lot more than you do. Because it's not just about attendance. It's about living this out in the places we live and work with the people that we do life with. And so we're going to be raising the bar some. We're going to be challenging you to some stuff. And I know you can meet the challenge. Some of you have far exceeded the challenge. For some of you, it's going to be harder. I'm not going to make a list, and if you don't check it, you can't come back. We're not going to do that. But we want you to know following Jesus is a high calling. It is a great honor. It is the best thing that can happen to any of us. I love that he calls us. What I also love is, next, and this next thing, if you're taking notes, you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out your calling. But you cannot be empowered by the Holy Spirit if you are only putting your foot in the waters of what Jesus is saying you're supposed to live your life. It's either all in or not at all. There is no getting a few toes wet every Sunday morning. This is either all day, every day following Jesus or not following him at all. In fact, one of the stories that talks about that is the story of the lukewarm water. Be hot or cold, you can't be in the middle. And we don't do anybody any justice by convincing them to be in the middle and that they're okay there. And there are going to be people that are going to have their feelings hurt because we're trying to challenge you to be hot. And there's going to be people who are going to say, I'm going to be cold and I don't care what you say. And that's okay. It's your choice. It is a high calling that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit works within your life, there is nothing like it. Let me finish up. John 14 says this about the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know in the Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And what I ultimately know and what many of you in this room could attest to as better than I can is that following in the footsteps of Jesus is its own reward. We don't talk about that a lot. Talk about how it'll affect your marriage, how it'll affect your job, how it'll affect your happiness. Following Jesus is its own reward. Just walking with him. Knowing he's real. He's with you. He's a part of you. He's a part of what's going on in your life. And even when you stumble and even when you screw up, he is there. It is its own reward. I'm going to stop there. Next week, we're going to talk about calling in. The next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about different activities that Jesus was involved with that he's called us to. Today was caring for people. That has to be the overarching theme of what we're doing. We have to care for people in Chattanooga. As we spread out from Chattanooga, we have to care for people around the world. That has to be our overarching concern. If you sign up for a ministry to be involved, whether you're a greeter, or you're on the worship team, or you're working with kids, or you're working with groups, or whatever you're doing, you have to see that as a high calling. God is bringing you to. If it's the empty trash bags here, that's a calling. We are all called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. People ask me, I think Jesus would empty the trash. I do. I think he would empty the trash. If he's going to wash somebody's feet, he's going to empty the trash too. And so to say only the people with a microphone are used of God is completely misunderstanding who Jesus is. My desire and my prayer for you and for me is that one day, just in the story of the talents, that one day we're going to go and see Jesus face to face. As Tracy said, he's going to look at our hearts. And it says in Matthew 25, 23, his master said to him who multiplied his talents, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Jesus is our master. Culturally, the very word master makes the hair on the back of your neck come up. Jesus is our master. He's our Lord. And he has called us to something great. I'm going to give you some challenges that you can help us with and how you can help us take some next steps as we close. You have in your seat, and you can take this with you and bring it back next week if you can't do it today. You have in your seat two things. You have a communication card if you're our guest. This is a little different day for us today. But we would love to get some information. If you've been a part of Journey for a while, there are some ways that you can get more involved. Towards the bottom of the connection card. If you're interested in Journey, more information about Journey, or if you're interested in being baptized, we're going to be talking about baptism. If you're interested in getting involved in volunteering, or you can read those, y'all can read. Check those and we'll get in touch with you about that. There's also a place for prayer requests. You can write down your prayer requests. You can see that there are two things that you can check under prayer requests. And this was really cool when I did this in yellow until I looked at it in here under these low lights. And I realize you can't hardly even read the yellow, but it says beside prayer requests for prayer team and confidential. You're going, prayer team? What's that? Exactly. We're starting a prayer team. And this prayer team is not like any prayer team you've been on before. We're not only going to be spending time praying together, we're going to be developing some prayer events here that you can come and just spend time praying. We can have some targeted worship events where you can be praying, but we're developing a prayer team. And if you're interested in learning more about that and getting involved with that, there's a sign-up sheet on the back to become part of the prayer team. But if you have a prayer request and you just want the staff to be praying and you don't really want that going out to anybody else, check the box and for confidential. But if you're okay for more people praying for your thing, you can check that. And we want to be praying for you. Another thing that's in your chair is a little survey, and it's got several different questions. Some of them based on what is helpful at Journey, what do we want to continue, what is not helpful at Journey, what do we want to stop doing, and then some questions about Journey groups. And we've got a discipleship team that's at work, and the stuff the discipleship team is developing is something I've never been a part of before. We're talking about a way of making disciples that is very biblical and is very much true to the Great Commission, that we are not just receiving from God, but we are giving away to others. We are being discipled, and at the same time we are being discipled, we are discipling others. This is going to be developing over the next few months. But in the meantime, we might try to do Journey groups differently this spring semester. And I would like to have some input from you as to what you would find helpful and what your interest level is before we move forward in that. If you can fill out one of these surveys and drop it in the offering bucket, that would be great. It shouldn't take you more than about 3 minutes. So if you want to do it after worship is over, you can do that. And that would be very helpful for us. Also, we have the sign up for room in the inn. We're providing a meal. Those meals are due next week. Bring those back here. And starting point is the other thing. And I'm going to talk about this next week because I don't want to inundate you with too much stuff. Starting point is a new thing that we're starting. I'm going to talk about it next week. I'm not going to bring it up today. But there's a sign-up sheet. If you know what it is, you want to sign up, go ahead. But if you don't know what it is, I'll share it next week. As we leave today, remember that if you'd like to support Tracy, that would be a great ministry to be involved with. If you are sitting there today and you do not know what your purpose is, you do not know what God wants from you, I want to pray with you about that. If you believe that God does not want to do something spectacular with your life, I want to pray that God will open your eyes to see that you are called to something great. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to literally change the course of events in this world. I want to invite you to follow me as I do that as well. Let's do this together as a church and as a faith community. We're gonna do one more song of worship. At that time, we'll also be taking up our offering if you would like to give towards the offering. Every one of you are called to something spectacular. Do not let anyone and do not let yourself convince you that you are not. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I know that there are people that are here today that you have already planned for before they were ever born that they were going to make an impact and a difference in their community and the world around them. But along the way, somebody has convinced them they don't have anything to offer. But God, you have empowered them through the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we as a church, that we still continue to ask you to lead us and guide us and show us what does it mean to be faithful to your calling as a faith community in Chattanooga. Help use us to empower people make a difference in the world around them. God, I thank you for the commitment of those that are in this room, for those that are serving, for those that are giving, for those that when they attend on Sunday mornings, it's not just about coming to a worship service. It's about investing in a community of people. I thank you for them. I thank you for those that give so selfishly. I pray for those that they really struggle to give financially when we take an offering, and they do that just to be faithful and obedient. God, I pray that you would bless them, and if it's not to bless them financially, bless them with such an incredible amount of peace and your presence within their life that there is no denying that to follow Jesus is its own reward. And Father, I pray for those today that they got mixed up somewhere. Somebody told them a gospel and it was all about how awful a person they were, that how hard of a person Jesus is to follow. God, I pray that your grace would just pour out among us. I pray that we would experience the fullness of your love and your power and your mercy. Father, I pray that you would forgive me in so many ways that I screw up every day. and yet you still walk with me, and you still talk to me, and you still call me to things that are so much bigger than I am. So God, I pray that you would hear our prayers for those that are in this room that they simply need to confess their sin and be forgiven and experience your grace. God, I thank you that Jesus, he knows what life is like. He knows what suffering and sorrow and hardship and death. He knows all those things. Let us learn from his example. And let us follow him. We ask all this in Jesus' name.